This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM and www.resonancefm.com on the net. This is the first Wavelength of 2022. Happy New Year, especially to Dan Wilson.
Hello.
Hello, Dan. How's your New Year been?
It's okay. I've not really been paying attention to the calendar, actually. I thought it was still last year.
Okay. So this show is the first in an ongoing, an indefinitely ongoing series of, what can we call them, poetry recitals, or is it just sort of stream of consciousness?
It's strange because it's poetry that you've done, but in some way you've distanced yourself from it, so it's being recited by a computer.
Well, it's being call it relayed by a computer. Would that be fair?
By a voice synthesizer.
But originally written by myself. I mean, this is like a retrospective of my. This is my retrospective of my poetry up to date.
Yeah, that you've emailed to me,
which I've emailed to you. You have been the recipient of these poems over a period of months now.
Well, years, I think.
Yeah,
it's been a gradual thing because your emails went from being very. We've talked about day-to-day things like editing your book, Perfect Binding, which I was the editor for, and gradually the poetry crept in.
Right.
Until within the last year or so, you went full-on poetry.
Yeah.
100% poetry. And I think there's a gradual discombobulation almost.
So it could reflect a state of mind.
Yeah,
in a way, especially over the last year, as it's become sort of more delirious, I would think.
Yes, yeah, I think that's definitely an
delirium is not a bad way to describe it.
Yeah,
and you have translated this into computer language. Which voices have you chosen? Different voices, or
There's a few different stock voices to choose from,
right?
For variation. But yeah, they're all
which creates a sort of a sensation, somewhat of just an ongoing stream of sort of it sort of levels it out, doesn't it?
Because
it
often could make it quite monotonous. Actually, it's an onslaught. But, I think.
Hopefully that might be sort of almost hypnotic. Or
every so often, though, there's a word or phrase that it makes you jump.
That's right. Well, I must say, as I'm writing this stuff, it does. In one way, it seems like gibberish, but then every so often, as you say, that part of it seems to be necessary in order to arrive at one brief phrase or paragraph, which then seems to click into place somehow.
Exactly. This is the alchemy of poetry. And it's also very similar to what I do in the group Oscillatorial Binage.
Oh, is it?
I can plug that. In Miraculous Agitation, which is where if you make an improvised sound long enough, you have at least a few phrases that are actually quite striking and musically pleasing.
But you have to work through the other
phase. Yes, you have to plow through the noise to get to the magical moment.
Do you think that someone else would edit that out? They would tend to leave out the preamble, just to get to the nugget.
I don't know. I think that's the it's nice to hear the struggle as well.
Yeah. I agree. But I mean, that's sort of isn't that the nature of improvised music to some extent?
Yeah, I suppose so. Yeah, and also in improvised music, everyone has their own moments. It's very subjective.
Right.
It could be the same with your poems. Like certain word combinations might be more striking for certain people than others.
Right. Yes. You can't anticipate or predict which bit is going to strike home with somebody.
Yeah. I know that you were quite keen to adopt a poet persona in one of the previous episodes that we broadcast last year.
Remind me.
I think
I started it actually. They were almost parodies of poems, I must say.
Yeah.
There was a degree of humour about all of it.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not a serious poet by any means.
And then it got out of hand.
Yeah. Although it's not serious poetry and it does contain humour, I'd stand by it, as it were. You know what I mean? I'm not saying it's.
They're quite solid.
Solid.
Yeah. I won't say any more.
Okay. I'll settle for solid.
Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough. So. Should I now recite out the
titles? I think we should
proceed,
yeah. You can introduce them by their titles.
Yeah, let me just grab this. Is it, as far as I don't remember giving them all titles, but then
these were the
titles of the emails sent to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So which is the first poem to choose from? You could start actually with the Christmas poem, if you're going in order, which was last month.
Okay. All right, well, Christmas poem, A Foregone Implosion.
Generative boomerangs arise. Surely this mishap will dominate through mistake and vendetta. Parallel bars intoxicate through heavenly ambrosia. But hark, the screaming banshee overdeveloped by TV dinners, penultimately disgraced, and yet victoriously scrubbed. The howling of a distant moon, ambition neglected. The volte-face of vol events assembled to deceive. Without pity. Would that it were otherwise, but barking mules dealt cards up sleeves and the cheating was infectious. Scimitars beheaded amiable tractor drivers whose only sin was to mention Old Spice as a sop to manure. Criminal cigars, hurled acid, fruit gums, drivel of tomfoolery. Hutch the rabbit, emblazoned in satin, crews disorganized themselves, bladders creaking with withheld gastric juices, bottled and displayed in supermarkets. Tomorrow. Alternatively, dimpled herrings grew weary. Badgers betrothed to octopi cruised indolently in pools of slime. Black-haired pumpernickel tribes assimilated asinine obloquy in a vain attempt to foresee the multifaceted doom of impending Yuletide Oz infant. Grind, grind, scrum half, deciduous barrack room parlor made destined to cut toenails, eviscerated towards pickled cobblestones. Around and aground, grimmer than facts. Precipitated by Borneo, the aggravated distant camels bleated complaints to a disinterested audience. Who could clarify calcium? Claridge's clearly couldn't clean Clara's collateral coccyx, or cut the cutaneous crumbs, creating Christian crap tables. Vast entries for doubt. Blotting paper cadmium red. Clapped out carbon batteries usually behind the times. During skeptical septic tanks, armored vehicles spewed forth black bile. And yet, in former tights, umbilical grease monkeys paid respects to deceased tight rope stalkers. Vinaigrette stepping stones marinated doubtless. Tattooed wine waiter, Osborne, paid to dispense, crown wheel and pinion, osteopath, haberdasher. How to square the oblong? Puff pastry. Swinging five-bar gate reveals a fresh crop of pudding stones soiled and bubble wrap. Oberammerk passion play adrenaline hush pork pie. How so the gruel yard? Clamor fight denigrates the scoreline parabola rhyming slang. Herbal remedy for barber ganoush. Tumor of drew. Fork twice the cul-de-sac which extols no virtue. Drain susceptibility through filtered haystacks. Whistle knowingly. Only kudos repairs.
So that was Christmas poem. Now the muse arrives.
Altered paroxysms of dried barracuda. My descent enlivens varicose opportunities. Sigh. Clumsified ingratitude beside voluntary humble weed. Crash. Blue grommet nightingale strangled by stretched nylon. The varmint envelops its own dalliance. Should the marathon pikelet believe its own proximity? None grind so far as a bristled diamond street sweeper whose great uncle decided posthumously to undermine all attempts at assassination. Duke Fair Isle of Loch Ness, heaping bat carcasses into a cement mixer, giggled ceremoniously in a grey velveteen bungalow. Demolished. Restored. Demolished again. Restored again, with a blue plaque announcing, Jonah the Whale worked here for 6 weeks. On holiday. Flexible hours. Stroke. Violent Swiss roll. Bruised. Simpleton. Crackerjack. Blueberry pies. When? Autism becomes you. Hissed Rita the ambulant pole vaulter. The pole whipped back unexpectedly, catching Joel on the forehead. His green tartan lumberjack shirt rose through the steam to a vantage point. Or vintage paint. Advantage pint. Gleam. Askew. Michael Miles. Gene Autry's baby grand piano spat mercury. Jumble sale Edmund Hockeridge. Caliper Al McCogan. Dusty spatula. Blockhead. Clatter again through vile fog of black vomit. Draw back the lace. Crawl over barbed wire. Emit plaster. Overlaid filigree. Only used once. Helen Shapiro's fake signature.
So, New Year poem.
Belligerence was naught towards enmity, religion the firefly of occidental tendencies outgrown to wit vindicating obnoxious carousels. Drown in iniquity, strobe foul ectoplasm belief justifies entropy, scum. Creeping fish fingers confiscate Hermione's wandering desk job. Blimey crescendo secrets chronic indigestion. Draw back fond drop kick. Russian intertwined stupid diatribe of forked lightning, greed. Juggling faintly left Ambrose the five-legged terrier horse without a donkey, bruised in forelock, hideous to sweat, schematically advanced over the corner paint. Dry whiskey. Crab apple sycophant dolloped intense varicose veins, but no abound due to calamitous clapper boards. Crucified checks circumscribed by fiddling mentally decimated orchestral slipper baths. The slough factor objectified drizzle. Pirates jostled for infrared ziggurats, evasion, crippling zither frames parallel to the Belisha hat stand. Three cherries. A winning formula for minuscule homebrew. Collapse. Invigorated by decapitated Drew Russellers. Slap happy, grunt. Bald.
Grin, grin, grin.
Germanic infiled Lederhosen, hobbled tent, viaduct. Grin, 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 opportunist. Broadsword calling, mistakenly by Humphrey, not intended by mistake, garnering less attention that ordinarily might customize Easter eggs, their yolks in infancy creating short thrift of blackened diamonds. Feel strap, jettison corncrakes in favor of blubber and denounce again those ox-tongued sandals. Bargain a fresh jolly soup, that which enabled nothing less than crudely striped jigsaw. Fronds. Doublet of silk, doused in paraffin, smouldering by dogs enthused to vicious harmony, barricaded in cliched vulgarity. Leotard of horse hair, bespoke accident of unworthiness in time for tea. The fleas congregate in multitudes, overwhelming aforementioned baboon traps, swathed in tumescent grapple hangers bent to create shadows by candlelit fog buckets. Excrete effluence violently towards the hummingbird of fate. Only the deflated bread basket guest. Scrape jaundiced sellotape from the anchors of fate. Believe again in pomegranates. Cry.
Towel.
Okra. Ursula von Trapp. Derogatory infanticide belies trapeze acts. Valediction summons insensibility, and yet the towel billows in a sea breeze. Bagpipes echo through a vineyard, the grapes fall in sympathy. The gardener's trowel rhymes with vowel, a portent of deciduous face flannels. The frozen mermaid slides off a rock into the brine. The tourist lies on a towel illustrated with alpine crocuses. Movement of a disturbed bowel, blasting through the stillness of the Lake District. Could it be Crowhell murmured disaffected carpenters struggling with wet dowel? By Jove insinuated the fir trees, their necks kept warm by hot towels, submerged in volcanic streams emitting steam from a bracken hornpipe. The glacial storm evicted fire eaters from a cavernous enchilada, drugged, incapacitated virtuously into blind rage. Pounced again by scarlet cascades, insolent hyenas chew blood oranges for comfort, their bathrooms depleted of all but the most desultory towels. There is no anagram of towel, nothing to alleviate the dread of dank skin, no drought of post-ablutions can stymie the whimpering joy of luxurious luxury, the ensuite, the monsoon shower unit in chrome magnitude, those elusive wooden soap trays, barricades of plastic ducks around a replica of Sebastopol where plasticine snipers crouch, emulating sumo wrestlers, invigorating the blockade with fire-drenched barges hammering against jocular Turks, mouse to chillered yet otherwise hirsute in a dearth of tweed. Drink of horse weed, browned by toasting. Flog a dead horse with a knotted towel, torture indeed, visage grimy. Hoof, now, the imbecile protects. Chiff chaff. Muffin the Mule.
Ugh. Also known as fairy cakes.
Belligerent water pump dressed in oranges. Catastrophic emulsion of joy, offset by cream diaphragm. Dickens' own trombones suffice by dandruff in haste. Copied in a morning suit, Haile Selassie clubbed together. Humble yet worthless, Fitzroy Cavendish drove northward in rusted pelts, clambering inwardly towards a nightmare of sober expectation. Bluebells waved. Bribery. Clandestine overindulgence never combined with waste, shot through with drastic ink stains like a paisley waistcoat frayed and stranded around a sheep's neck. Fire. Brimful of nostalgic hatred. Fairy cakes. Ambulant crimson. Excitable bison regretting nothing but overfed with nursery rhymes chanted at a pace dreamt up by Apache waiters, whose reason for living was no longer obvious. Eating black currant soup through moldy straws left Buffalo Bill dissatisfied, complaint withdrew. Management collided with sketches of watercolor lily ponds. Various slippers remained dusty, but instrumental violins batter dry goods section. Kiosk of muskrats. Fellows of All Saints. The gibbering salamander grappled with algebra. How to maintain incunabula in a climate of foul brickbats. Only scruples remain frozen after the obsolete refrigerator defrosted itself, blaming its upbringing for failures that were self-evidently self-inflicted.
My next poem is called Tow Truck Serenade.
Snack blind inventory describes jubilant entropy by grueling views. The unicycle flock disinterred by inert zithers ubiquitous in isolation accumulated unwanted detritus as though November had arrived early. The queue for criminal negligence strayed beyond the dairy, frogs cheese staling chiropodists moonlight. Hatchet-faced rhythm section maintained an unsteady flatbed of humors, blindly pursuing goals. Hardly had Hubert begun the lonely sojourn towards a wax sun than he descended rapidly into a ravine, during the fall his sofa ground into peppercorn rent. Shabby but defiant, the group of emigres huddled together on a makeshift raft, sinking by a straw's length, a chorus of auld lang syne belted out over foam gladioli. Heaped buckets generated heated exchanges between glittering food parcels. Lentil sauerkraut on a bed of wilted lettuce, balanced on wobbly fake meat sausages. Crew membership dissolved into peals of laughter at the unfortunate spectacle as provided by a triangle of unstriped tigers, mud-eaten by mites. Crippled with ant society, the inebriated despaired of rescue and shot themselves en masse, remains floating in a doggerel of miscast extras. Who was Ben-Hur? Jagged icicles inflamed with indignation splattered the windscreen of a passing tow truck. Crat newscaster. Barrister on roller skates upended by witness for the persecution whose testimony floundered through no fault of a punctured aorta. A portrait of me Tuzzlay flopped into third place lagging far behind the drip feed. Broken institution. Zip. Flock of cormorants overpowered all shags.
And now, grimace my path, not a haiku obliterated through ignominy.
Jocular hindstock, grimace my path. Winston had verdigris enabled by twin ox carts. Drab cracked earth slob, vindicated greed simple, whose intrepid diatribe raised wrecks from cold harbour, incensed by serpentine indolence. Gravity. Ducks in May, gathered bleary ape shit. Vladimir Vostok, a bartender from Grimsby, betrothed in acid, slippery fireside wet warmers, ionized in blank verse, worse than streamlined and filtered walrus juice, the twain. Scrupulous invective blindsided, hanger for gin rummy, amputated dice, angular climbing thread, Christopher Columbo, hampered. Andris Cole's Island, Barbary apes oversaw the onslaught of excommunicated blood oranges, dreaming whilst sledging, toboggan stripped. Inveterate hopscotch industry reclining coconut, block your own junior. Jasper's Jodhpurs ripped in the bungalow thrice insulated to withstand dust particles of romance. Glimmer towards cave species. Dried milk. Harbingers. Duke of York. Windjammer splattered by green beetroot juice, hidden from bleary at the miscarried handicraft mule. Who's no more, just hang. Hang. Blue in a tide. Osteopath's whooping cough, the mint at market. Whence adrenaline scoop with vanilla. Happy are we.
This next poem is called Arthur Askey's.
The pachyderm, jilted by Laurence Olivier, steadfastly flew backwards into the teeth of a toothless koala bear. Glad fondles apex jewels with bladder's intestine. Criminal injustice system. Multitudes of headless haberdashers cast themselves in gold before dropping single file over beachy head. The mass suicide was reported a year later in the Huddersfield Herald as breath by misadventure. Hooligan trials dominated the Vespers. Arthur Askey, dribble adroitly through the back passage, ostentatious vintage tractor, aluminium leggings, prognosis of misjudged belly flops resounding through the deserted Lido like a clap of blunder. Bruising. Apostrophe of suppressed evil, creeping like vipers in a facsimile of hell. Arthur Askey's dead uncle, resurrected for the encore, belching grey smoke from a clay drain pipe. Shooting stars clung to Penelope's eardrum, visibly swept aside in dual controversy, oxidated and disappointed. Arthur Askey's dead maiden aunt, gripped by gripe, grape juice gaped last gasps. Arthur Askey's dead grandfather mingled incognito in Winchester's fish market, haggling for herring, the bones sewn into a handicapped deerstalker to deter teddy boys. The volume was deafening. Arthur Askey's dead cousin on his father's side requested tea cakes. The cakes had life of their own and assumed the form of Arthur Askey's dead caterpillar, then a moth, then a Bolivian astronaut, failed, sliced into mortadella, vacuum-packed and frozen, held up by customs in Canada and destroyed. Hooray!
And now, a short poem with inordinately long title in comparison.
Embezzled by Dunlop, Jerk Sloke invited Ingress to develop insouciance. Crimea, happily squatting in foxholes, bribery suggested insurmountable dry cleaning, to which Heisler replied, breakneck speed, overlapping hats shoot escape, dank. Charisma remained afterward, hatched melodrama umpire. Midnight blue, Crozier winsome in lionized underwear, caused linseed oil. Coagulated, awful consequence. Drip feed the drowned guinea pigs. Assemble vague turquoise toweling adjacent to filth. Stamp out, decide, abandon, virtue, clockwise. The Attorney General's China hippopotamus times two. Trellis.
A brief poem, abridged trade secret.
Fresh gargle my entry scribble. Hula hoops winter beside Bessie's valuable aorta. Decide vixen over overwrought halib orange tablets. Excited by dribbling sclerotic submarines. Doused only in fact finding jam dried superstructures. Happily obscured through meaninglessness, Clarissa enabled oxygen to form in the throats of unborn triffids. Described in a dream, zombies collapsed, imploding silently in a blaze of gory superimposed banality. Destitute alpha male, ham-fisted ionizers dragged eels bored by Netflix to a point somewhat inexorable. Ambulant, dread, sock fight, oxymoron flibbity gibbet.
Basted spearmint.
Basted spearmint, indefatigable, yet glue, crimped into a zoo. The criminal dragnet emphasized duration. Cold, cold, straw, juice shoots in spasmodic exhaust fumes. But how would Howard, or Hugh, Hoover, failed Adelphi with Kate on the take, Electrovolta face, pugilists crawled worthlessly towards a thumbnail of light, grinning like Somerset apes, strains of pasta hanging from the corners of jaws, dribbling vast amounts of effluence but bleeding heart consomme, cannibals. Ostracized billiards amended corkscrews in order to fool carbooed seagulls. Meaninglessness Loch Ness. Corpulent obesity. Less mess less ness. 13. Jocular hindermit.
And now, badgers.
Derided by climbers. The deciduous armitage whereas recommended by Vincent Dry Cleaner. Clung to Teflon surface. Mysteriously programmed to eviscerate damp lucifers. Concave blimps gathered to pay respect. Vile in their indeterminacy but still somehow splendid. Blabber fruitfully indecide. Fruit flies. Scheming news agents at pillar drivers. Intent on mischief. The squire misread instructions and plowed a crooked furrow. By chance. The Moulton documents. Critical illness spread throughout a population of albino badgers, distorted by disease transmitted by careless slave traders. Inculcate the steam trolley. Arrive. Drip.
This next poem is called Short Poem, also known as Vindicated by Paraffin.
vindicated by paraffin but falsified with vituperative passports, no destination, grommet seeds, pile driven after needling spasmodic cruelty, grime, my flawed epiglottis, crab apple crap, queues formed with the intention of barricading themselves in, slime. The deserted portico now represented hammerhead sharks with crocodile skin handbags. Corpia and Sue, trained to inflame but not without malice.
Perspex Anteater.
Invigorated by backslapping happy cow, duodenal ulcer forgave rich pickings. Dribbling fantasy of golf, shred my weasel. Jupiter's ice blast resumed insolence. Black seed. Rhubarb's tongue. Clandestine clock winding mechanism designed to modulate freezing fingerless gloves. Problems dread. Chicken. Gruesome obscurantism enfolding kneecaps. Consequently mishap. Dew the knife. Vicious permanent doggerel. Climbing plant straw doll. Brick chalet in flames emitting stench of rose-colored banana skin. Drop. Accelerate poison. Italics. Generate vivid double clogs. Bonus, said the lamb.
This next poem came to me in a dream. Vortex of Gravy, Volume 5.
Bribery in motion apprehends even foolhardy evidence. Ground through with immortal parabola. Oscar grew weary of Manda's continuous effervescence. Behind closed doors. Batliliafric gardening tools. Shrewd but omnipresent laid tiles. Valedictory woolen car coats for the porpoise. Ambulant storm clouds ushered away streams of overloaded batterer hens. But it dawned on Dawn that Frank's frankness was a victory for Victor. But Henry had nothing except a memory. That day was implemented by fossil fuel in defiance of oyster hemoglobin. Crying out for sound. Neville's naval attaché attached herself to Otto's Ottoman rug. The erstwhile botch. Blue diamonds flew greasy satchels and honesty slid sideways to a canter. Parking large cars in a basement tea plantation offered no respite. Not even for Eve in the evening. But rotters wrote in Sanskrit to throw Richard in a fit of peaked caps to doom in a chasm of wretched pomegranate seeds. Plucked angels. Offer stew.
Vulgar boatmen.
Bristling with ointment, Barbarossa's mule underwent heart surgery. Indignant with phosphates, Bamber Gascoigne suffered. Drizzling creme fraiche over melted parvenus. Handily placed to revolve extreme pity on sequestered diligence. Cough. Cough, said Hugh. It's on the table, declared Sue. Brindisi lapped. The Applejacks played drums fleetingly to a tune of Highland Flings. Gross misconduct festered. Choosing noughts and crosses instead. Classified. Yet daubs of blue pigment used in a meaningful shape resembling not so much a portrait as a landscape with a windmill. A lake and a torture chamber. Umber. Gaunt. Cucumber sandwich.
Vulgar boatmen again.
Cork mat symbolized vague jurisdiction. The concrete pillow attracted vicious inhabitants whose direct ancestor inveigled dry ants. During overcoats, no amount of drab cruise shopping blue night crap jacketed croupiers could overcome the glory attached to no account club members. The same members who hitherto had shown no remorse, earning medals. Blistering clacks and scrounged folding ambergris. Collide. Exhaustion slipped over anyone who cared enough. The skewers donated half their monthly wage and laughed towards dread beacons. Mud acquired kudos. Caliber was an important but scratching would help. Calamitous velvet. Dropped by vacuum. Who would know? Jupiter. Concave teeth turned inside out to clamber wormwood in vain. Full stop. No bounds. Germany. Gravel with chintz borders. Excited to be alive. Grooms vaulted through cardinal black spots promising to achieve ambiguity. Nurtured by a nagging similarity to Harry Belafonte. Bucket.
Marrow fat jelly.
Inevitable basket work. Derided by false weasels, whose self-interest strove wizened Hartley Pool, that haven of foxed impresarios, drunk on fermented Chianti. Vomiting freely to a Wallace by Alexander Schoenberg from his Blue Period. Dragged to oblivion, Oscar Hammerstein changed public telephoned boxes to accommodate yellow badges proclaiming infinite screwdriver's influence by radio. Clarification by dead wood. Shambled grass. The blocks of immediacy mixed nonchalantly with burnt umber oil paint, the scent of which permeated valleys arrived at by sledge pulled by five-legged dogs. Scattered mongrels driven insane by a whip-wielding anorexic. Clawless. Lying doggo, Van Dimmen's land presented an avalanche of clumsy black string bags, plucked in time to a different waltz by Alexander's brother, the Wizard of Hamilton Academicals. Relegated finally to the 10th Division, where only corpses practice netball toothlessly. Climb up behind jaws. Deliver coal. Juice of infamy. Call down to a wretched survivor, meanwhile.
A valediction in pink moonlight.
Splinters of gall. Offend my rapeseed. Due to ineffectiveness, ample penury, secures no one. Gibber bark. Corrections flounce in empathy with passing grout. The flu needs scouring in time for Whitsuntide, that homegrown period of a man who insists which pervades, avoids, telegrams to a long-standing yellow drainpipe. Cruel invective strikes home whilst harboring duodenal ulcers of the third kind. Bark. June. July, December, gyro, morau fat jelly, encrusted with well-worn trivia. Drakes walk gingerly through coal-stained snow, their webbed feet creating etched impressions of upturned beaks, reflected in frozen poodles. Towards the crematorium where ragged curtains twitch, opening again to reveal charred remains of a vainglorious puke-splattered colander, straining the tendons of battered holograms. Peach-colored. Drab winter. The punctured balloon descends slowly over an immaculate scarecrow creating a specter of invisible hope. Die now, Victor. Part 2. Planks across a half-dug trench.
Gerbils in Marienbad.
Cruise again, gerbil, valiant against the Haumos. Great crested grebe, coated in creosote, casts slippery entrails, dutifully. Bang. Oxtail. Queued up towards Morocco. Julian's ex-partner subscribed to the New York Book Review with regard to Hugh's failure to complete the credit card transaction. Would that it were otherwise. But haversacks, not haystacks, generated warmth where there was none beforehand. Bladderack. Hamstrung by cold wit, The aforementioned gerbil confided to the chameleon that horsehair could be seen protruding from his left armpit. Removal would be slow and ponderous, but vanity would prevail. A jukebox slammed shut just before the final overture of 1812 played Incognita by Demis Roussos. The poet learned posthumously that repetition was permitted. The poet learned posthumously that repetition was permitted. The poet learned posthumously that repetition was permitted. But could be repetitious. Fired from a water cannon, Gerald Garibaldi considered a career move. Roadkill. Why? Well, more whom? White Sunday. Whereupon, Edgar Hoover, the vacuum cleaner salesman from Whitby, evacuated his bowels into a bucket on the M25 whilst whistling Life on the Hard Shoulder. Refreshments could be seen in the lay-by beyond the central reservation, where a multiple pile-up had all but obliterated the illuminated sign which diverted traffic alongside the dried-up canal towards a peculiar village named after a Greek sculptor, whereabouts unknown. Crustacean.
Ode to fungal... Christ, I don't remember even writing these titles. Okay. Ode to fungal blood...
Ode to... to fungal blood vendors.
Scribble more, Frederick. Memories of Stroral Peter still embedded in hardened arteries. Thoughts of the clumsy tailor emerging with giant scissors to cut off sucked thumbs, Harriet burning to death, Johnny striding into a canal. Perspex incendiary breeze block attached to a neck. Deformed stubble maintained by reckless growth hormone, unproven to survive lawn mowers which driven over chins caused multiple incisions, even. Sensitivity to frostbite grimacing crawl through a stench pipe. Abercrombie's furore extinguished through no fault of his own. Plastic jeweled handle. The Monopoly money drifted down the stairwell towards a smouldering Christmas tree, harboring blue-dyed rodents feeding on Stilton cheese. All Hallows Geronimo Parasite Mounted Policeman, Hornby Dublo. Your apology is not accepted, and Victor keeled over, clenching a porcupine's charm bracelet, looking towards the reflection of a lighthouse in the derelict nail bar's toilet door. Henceforth he would resolve to toast pikelets on the third day of the month when funfairs clashed. Giblet. Pause. This is just the beginning.
The rictus grin of Larry the Lamb.
The rictus grin of Larry the Lamb described in frenzy by studious impostors. Choose infinity from a quiver of blunt darts. 179. By delivering yellow farts to a box set of widowed anglophiles, Elias was able to gain access to an olive grove previously considered obsolete. Back down in gratitude, stammered Duke, but whistling autumnal flute tunes. Drab scrivener, the window collapsed inward shardwise. Return the things you stole. Euphoniums exhumed aristocratic bilge. By passing sideways, the stuffed donkey murmured expletives. The giraffe's neck, detached from a lion's torso, revealed microscopic sawdust particles whose intention was veiled by drunken tape measures. All was not well with daubed insignia. Crime. Crime. Crime.
Browning.
Now, Oh. Wow, how cow brown crown, stupidity designs off jabbering butcher birds, those exclamations of gibbering acrimony, derringer the volt face string-like, the bird song pierces like sublimated mustard. Much barrister aforethought, hence algebra of derisory woodcraft, Sigmund commands and dribbles knowingly into a towel. We shall fight them on the peaches, we will never gerrymander, never were so few in lieu of so many, and yet shot down graceful non sequitur described in the round by James Joyce's illiterate uncle. Youthful market stall holder, bellowing incriminating slurs at all who deign to enter Valhalla's milk parlor, grin again Whittington, and return to no man's land with a plastic parrot on one shoulder to ward off parasitic increments of solitude, ever present by a Turkish bath, flogged by salted sticks, decimated by shattered dromedaries, cucumber sandwiches, Scriabin's lassitude, obscene interview dust. Gary. Old man. Marigold Anyman. Gold Marianne. Log Drayman. Infinite Hollywood.
Hopelessness.
Blithering blither unsold vitamins accrue strange intimacy. Viewing time is open for vibrant castanets. Eat vinegar my trembling foal. Pile high the screwtox before germination adds profligacy in an open faucet. Drawn simplicity captures only a shameful bomb crater. Uncle Claude, remember to dry the clothes pegs. Cantankerous overlockers assemble to argue the toss. Who will blame them? Not I, said the third billy goat. Will you vindicate my misdemeanor, pleaded Victoria as she plummeted from a first-floor balcony, landing softly in waist hair from a chain of barber's shops which had survived competition from a nail bar. In other circumstances, Victoria might have landed in nails like a confused fakir. Aberystwyth beckoned a doomed sloop. The crew attached themselves to obsolete plastic phones in anticipation of impending lack of communication. One, a bosun, sank without attachment, agreeing to take part in a survey, choosing option 3, which obliged him to write extensively, 5,000 words, about the experience of drowning. Gurgling declined. Voluminous amounts of damage Howard Hodgkin paintings. Latterly. Clung.
Powder puff.
Gribolski gallery turnaround. Who flung dung? Reiterated by cannibalistic impropriety, as though the necessary credentials were no longer in vain. Babbled truly. Shoot the passenger in violent passivity. In passing, grab the oats, and spray them in jocular fashion through Germanic celeriac, creeping. I exercise complaint in compliance with outdated fishing tackle, the barber's grin forms a hallowed wail, but toothless, as though the whisper of a laugh energized by crippling dust entered backwards. Lauder, lauder, blaspheming voluntarily whilst bellowing transgressive fouls towards a copper hearing aid, blocked by a stabbed joke victim. Louder. A sliding tackle by Sir John Barbirolli's teammate caused the referee to swallow his whistle. Blanket coverage. Juice packet. Bark. Fruit pastilles. Gordon Honeycomb.
Sunday.
battle-charged infantry of happenstance. Gruesome balaclava summoned by wart-hungry fruit-eating goblins. Grime again venom a twilight weasel's haberdashery, the twain embraced in grisly hardship. Grown forwards through heavenly impropriety, out of sympathy for granite-featured balcony watchers. Hula hoops strummed voluntarily whilst watching repeats of Look at Life. Black Dog Crumpet Battery. Vile seismic intersected dishwasher set permanently on rinse, only connected to a faulty dimmer switch destined to electrocute wayward eels. How do bean cleaners make decisions based on experience? Stammered the clean bean inspector, miles away from home in a souped-up Jowett javelin which struggled up hills. The crux of the matter stretched forcefully towards nether regions shrouded in pumping gas enticed from the Ukraine by a system of pulleys, violently and with collateral damage of many unforewarned bear trap invigilators, mouthing curses against an invisible drought. On a torn trampoline, 34 transphobic midgets competed for a dress code, in doubt. Barnaby Howler Monkey inscribed his initials on a communal bench which had been installed in memory of a cannibal, Godfrey Inchcape, who spent his childhood in a park close by. The bench, made of agonized teak in the Swedish style, was elevated on a concrete plinth and surrounded by black tulips. On the furthest reaches, a blue plaque fixed upside down on a pebble-breakwater enlivened an otherwise gothic landscape. The plaque mentioned in passing a grotesque incident 1985 to 1987 during which effervescent tube wranglers lime-scaled 22mm pipes causing blockages to innocent traffic wardens. Who would foot the bill? A blizzard of ionized toothpicks accelerated out of danger. Jeffrey Warmonger. We'll be right back.
Verse 1 of Epic Poem.
Blast, blast, blast you. Blast, you, blast, you. You blast, you blast. Blast you, blast you. Blast, you blast, you blast you. You blast. Blast, blast, blast you. B-L-A-S-T. U. B. L. I. S. T. U.
No poem.
Ballooned on by urgent Labradors, the victors of the Parakeet Marathon imbibed Dragnet biscuits. Hooligans extracted raw vitamins twice. Jewels. Jocular cringemakers jostled in video. Blackball the ingrates by demanding 9 ziggurats, highly regarded in a Swiss village. The cruise liner jettisoned surplus cheese sandwiches to be consumed by a circling bloated albatross whose plaintive bleating captured the mood. In the hold, charismatic Clark stirred syrup of figs into a vast vat of hydrogenated Weetabix. Who would challenge them now? Oxdale, the litter bin spilled nothing. Lord Byron, collapse. Sent from my red-painted phone box at a desert crossroads where sand blows over a dead henchman. Block and tackle.
I think that's it.
The titles of the last few were read by Sandra Cross, because I could no longer contain my mirth. Yep. But that, on the other hand, I don't want it to be ridiculous. You know, I think it's got to be done with a straight. It's deadpan.
Well, that's why we have to.
It has to be done with a straight face. Yeah. I've just got to blow my nose actually. So, excuse me.
So goodbye. Thanks for listening. And
thank you for listening, and we hope to, with the assistance of Dan Wilson, I hope to produce several more programmes at least of this ongoing poetry recital.
This programme has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.